You know that we're talking about forgiveness tonight. There are so many important topics in the New Testament. And I don't know if we could put them on a scale of 1 to 10 and say, well, this one's the most important, and then this one, and then this one. Because they're all so interwoven, and they connect together so well, and they're all so important to the Christian life. But this topic of forgiveness, and our lesson tonight, forgive to be forgiven, is one of the most important things in the New Testament. Whenever we talk about something that's going to make a difference in whether we're forgiven or not, that's what we call a salvation issue. It's an issue that determines our salvation. And whenever we're talking about a salvation issue, we know that's an important issue. Now, we can discuss whether Adam and Eve had belly buttons, and we can discuss how many years the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness before they got to Egypt, and we can discuss all those kinds of things till we're blue in the face. But the fact of the matter is, those things, and no, it wouldn't make a bit of difference in whether we were saved or not. But there are some things that make all the difference in the world in whether we're saved or not. We even could debate about who our congregation Paul started, and whether or not they ordained elders, and which churches did they do that in. And we can talk about those things, and we can learn a lot, and we could study about Barnabas, and we could learn a lot about how to be better Christians from studying some of these people. And that could help us to be better Christians and to get to heaven a little better, probably. But it's not going to be on the level that becomes the topic that we're talking about tonight. There are really very few things in the New Testament that are on par with this. The grace and mercy of God, the gospel itself, the love of God, the plan of salvation, and this is right up there with those things, as far as it's important. Forgiveness. Let's begin by reading Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 9. The disciples all gathered around Jesus, this part of the Sermon on the Mount, and here is what Jesus says. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then after that little simple prayer that he gives them, he says this: for if you forgive men their trespasses, then Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, trespass is such a specific type of sin. It was a sin committed against another person. So when he says, if you forgive me their trespasses, he wasn't talking about me forgiving somebody else for stealing and hurting me. He wasn't talking about me forgiving somebody for killing somebody else, didn't hurt me. He's talking about, specifically, when someone else does something to me. Because it's easy for me to want to forgive all the people out there that have done bad things. It's easy for me to want to forgive the people who have robbed banks and to forgive even the terrorists. I'm going to forgive the ones who's driving. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive.
good Adolf Hitler, because he didn't hurt me. But when it comes to something, and sometimes so slight, well, he cut in front of me in line, I'll never forgive him for that. What about somebody like Hitler who killed millions of people, and I'm willing to forgive him, but I'm not going to forgive this guy because he cut in line in front of me. You see, somehow we think that when someone sins against me, well, that's different than when they just sin against somebody else or even sin against God. Wouldn't they be willing to forgive people all kinds of things? But not if it's against me. And so Jesus, when he uses this word trespasses, he is specifying that we've got to be willing to forgive them when they sin against us, because we can't forgive them of those other sins anyway. Now, true, we can't actually block that sin out for anybody. We can't forgive anyone. Only God can forgive the sin itself. But we can not hold it to their charge from our point of view, from our side. That's all we can do. Now, there may be many things that we may forgive someone for, but that God will nevertheless hold them accountable for. And we've got a big movement in the church. We want to forgive people for divorces and remarriage. We want to forgive people for adulterous relationships or living shacked up with somebody else. We want to forgive. Oh, we'll forgive that. We won't worry about it. That's okay. But just because a church here or there or somewhere says, oh, we won't, that we'll forgive that, that doesn't mean that God will. Okay? But we do have to have the attitude of forgiving someone who sinned against us. Now, there are a number of scriptures that present this same principle, that we must forgive in order to be forgiven. We have to have the proper spirit and the proper attitude toward others. In Mark 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we need to forgive before we pray. If we're going to really have an impact on others. And notice he says, you know, you're just standing there praying. And you remember that you have something against someone. You just forgive them right then and there. We don't have to make a big deal out of it. It's just with, oh, look at the person who's forgiving this person. Just forgive them. Thank you. A lot of times, those people don't even know that you've got an incident with them because you've been in a grudge about something that they thought you were going to be forgiven and do it. But only that's possible to remember that the same measure that you use will be used to judge us. Verse 36 to 38. He says, there's some mercy. This is the Father after the judge. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, let me be given to you. Come and sit down, sit together, and learn the other one that is set in the wisdom. And with the same measure that we use, it will be made to you. We're going to be judged according to the kind of standard that we use on others. If I will hold every mistake that you've ever done against you and remember and subtract us and mark down and try to remember it every time I see you, then God's going to be quite not remembering everything that I've ever done wrong. But if I've done something wrong, I'm willing to let God know and God will be willing to forgive me as well. And of course, the idea of that Luke 17 to consider it is that when we quit, we forgive. But we need to stop because what we're saying against you, we give to him. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to give to him. He just got to stop talking to you and you don't have a story against him. He's saying, you didn't know this.
of the flesh matters not just to those efforts, but about sin, we need to do that. So, supernatural today, we must review. That's part of our responsibility as well. But once we review, then that person repents, we let go. We don't continue to hold it against them. And then we also see Peter asking the question, well, how often, Lord, should I repent? Or should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? We say up to 7 times? And the Lord said, no, up to 70 times 7. You keep on forgiving. Even if that person, and Brother Brian brought this out this past week, even if that person does the same thing to you again, and then comes back and says, I repent, you forgive them again. And if they come back and do the same thing again, and Jesus said there in Luke 17, even if he does it up to 7 times a day. Now, I can't recall anybody ever sinning against me doing the same thing to me 7 times in 1 day. But if they did, if they did the same thing to me 7 times in 1 day, and after each time came back and said, oh, I repent, please forgive me, I'd be bound to forgive that individual another. So we must forgive. And even this 70 times 7, we must remember that it is not, well, I'll keep track then, and when you get up to 490, you're out of luck then. 491st time, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. That's not the kind of idea that Jesus is trying to get off across to us. What he's pointing out is, you keep on forgiving. It is not our place to hold judgment or to place judgment. God's going to do that. There may be many things that we're willing to forgive somebody of because they said they repented, but they didn't truly repent, and God will hold them accountable for that. But it's not my place to determine your heart and determine whether you've repented or not. And Jesus doesn't say even there if he shows fruits of repentance. He just says if he comes to you and says, I repent. That makes that a hard statement for us to swallow sometimes. Now notice this as well. There, as we talked about that 490, Jesus went on to tell them a little parable about a king who was settling his accounts with his servants. And one came in and owed him 10,000 talents. And that's a lot of money. 10,000 talents is far above even, you know, we might think, well, what's that, like $10,000? No, no, it's far more than that. It would be. And so this individual told him, this is not the money. You have to be able to do it. That Jesus did the cross for a huge amount. That could never pay it off. He wasn't rich. He was a servant. And he could never pay off this amount. And then the king said, oh, well, forgive me. You know, if you'll let this debt go, I'll pay it. And of course, he said, no, I know you can never pay it, but I'll just forgive the debt. I'll just wipe it away. I'll just mark it off. And we'll just forget about it. It's gone. And so what does this young fellow do? I say young. He may not have been young. But what does this fellow do after the king has forgiven him graciously? Said, well, we're not worried about that 10,000 talents. Well, what does this guy do? But he goes and finds somebody that just owes him a few dollars. Just a very, very small amount. And then he starts to harass this individual. And what does he do? He even has this man thrown in jail because he can't pay the debt. I don't know if they're still thrown to. I know they do for child support, but I think that's about the only debt left that they'll actually throw you in jail for sometimes. But boy, you know, to owe a few dollars and you couldn't pay it, and you get thrown in jail. And the guy begs him, no, please, please. And he says, no, you know, and threw him in jail. Well, the king found out about that. And the king wasn't happy. The king called this servant back in. And he said, you know what? I forgave you that huge amount. And when you went out and acted like this, and he threw him in jail. And that was the end of that man. In fact, verse 34 says, the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers
the New King James says. So he delivered him not just to have to pay back the debt, but he delivered him to be tortured, to the tormentors, the King James says, the torturers. Now, we don't even allow that in our country. But that's what Jesus said was going to happen to the same idea there with us. If we won't forgive, then we're going to be delivered at the end of time. And he goes on in verse 35, he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From the heart. It can't just be words. It can't just be, oh yeah, I forgive you. And then we go talking to everybody else in the neighborhood about all these horrible things this person did. That's not forgiveness. It can be, oh yeah, I'll forgive you, but you're not going to get to forget about it. Keep reminding you every time I see you. See, that's what forgiveness is. That's the end of it. It doesn't get brought back up again. That's just going to be the same thing again, and that thing might get up. But you don't go back once it's hands of the payment. It's just like any debt. Once we paid a debt, if I pay my life bill, or if I pay a credit card bill, or if I pay any kind of bill, doctor bill, or whatever it is, and then they go on and spend me a bill for that same amount again, what am I going to do? I'm going to go, wait a minute. I paid this part already. That's not going to keep that. Ever happened to you? You paid the debt, but they came back up for the good. I didn't get twice as much. So that's a good reason to keep your receipts. And I've had to do those things. So I've kept the receipt every time. So if I paid this right, here's my receipt when I paid it. And then they have to say, oh, we're sorry that we sent that bill out to you. It just didn't get marked off or whatever. But we have to be the same way. When a bill is paid, you don't expect to keep receiving that bill if you have the money. The same way, when someone trespasses against us and it's forgiven, that debt is paid. We don't keep bringing it back up. But let's look at three things very quickly about these scriptures that we've read. First of all, these scriptures assume that we have people who sin against us. I think that's a pretty self-assumption in it. All of us, we've had somebody do something against us, and we've all done something against someone else. But more importantly, we've all done sin against God. Because whether I sin against you, or whether I sin against myself, whether I sin against the law of the land, or whether I sin against the law of God, all sin is a sin against God. Not all sin that I committed is a sin against you, but all sin is a sin against God. Every time the law is broken. So we assume that people sin against us. Well, we all do have people sin against us. Matthew 18:10 says, one of the rules of several offenses, four offenses must come. The world of the man by them that offense comes. Yes. Sin is going to come in the world. Offenses are going to come. We're going to be offended from time to time. That's going to happen. All of these things will happen. Luke 17:1, he said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him for whom they do come. So the scriptures clearly teach us that we will have someone sin against us. And since it will happen, and it has happened to most all of us, I don't know, maybe everybody doesn't have anybody sin against them. Except that spoon out there, that spoon is a good meaning. Yeah. But, yeah, there was a good little baby maybe you had, but even with a children, people sin against them. And Jesus said, you know, whoever causes one of these little ones, better if a millstone was tied around his neck and he was fastened into the sea than to cause one of the little ones to sin. So I think that's even the more grievous sin to offend the little ones like that. But all of us have had that happen. And since we've all had it happen, we've got to go out and deal with it. We've got to know what to do. What are we going to do?
as I keep thinking about it and dwelling on it and just focusing on thoughts on it and figuring out how to get back at that person and suddenly stress about it forever and ever, what are we going to forgive it and move on? That's our senses. These scriptures also teach us that it is difficult for us to forgive others. They told us easily, everybody would just naturally do it, and Jesus doesn't even have to be addressing this subject. You know, there's not a verse in the Bible that tells us we need to breathe. There's not a verse in the Bible that tells us that we need to make our hearts beating. Now, let's think of it as natural to us. Somebody doesn't have to tell us. But the things that are contrary to our human, I have to use the word nature, but it's a natural part of the human condition. It becomes so ingrained in us that we just say, well, I don't get mad, I get even. And we just think about that. We've been trained from the time we were little bitty. We weren't born thinking that way, but we've been trained from such an early age that it's almost like it's always been that way for us. We say, I'll never talk to them again. Little children, see, show us, though, the wonderful attitude of forgiveness. You ever seen those little children playing and one of them does something to the other one, and they come out crying, and, oh, he stole my toy, or he hit me, or whatever it was that they did, and I'm never playing with them again. Give them a couple of minutes. They'll be back in there playing again like nothing happened. They've forgotten all about it. You see, there are a lot of ways. You know, Jesus says that we must become like little children. This type of forgiveness is one of those areas where we need to be like little children. They are willing to forgive, and they won't bring it up. When's the last time you saw these little ones say, I don't know if I'm going to play with you. I remember 3 weeks ago when you hit me with that toy. I'm not going to play with you today. They don't think that way. They learn to think that way. We teach them to think that way. But they just forgive these things. We must remember that doing an injury puts us below our enemy. Getting even or revenge only does just that. It puts us even with him. Only forgiveness can place us above the enemy. That's why Jesus taught us to love our enemies, to forgive them. And it is said even that by doing those things, we heap coals of fire on their head. They don't know how to take that. They don't know how to take kindness and love. They can't handle that. But it does teach us that it is difficult. Because if you forgive, if you do not forgive, there's a big if there. Because Jesus knew that not everyone who was listening to him was going to do this. It was not easy. It was something difficult, which is the reason we're focusing on it. We focus on the things that we have to work at to achieve. For those of us who are overweight, we didn't have to work to get there. It was easy. But you know, there's not a book in the library or in Books a Million or any of the other bookstores. You can't find a book that'll tell somebody how to become overweight. Don't need a book for that. It's easy. But now you can find hundreds of books on how to lose weight and get thin again. And why is that? Because that takes work. It takes discipline. It takes self-control. And it takes you've got to work at it. It doesn't just come easy for us when we're overweight to just get thin again. And I imagine for those who are thin, it doesn't just come easy for them to stay that way. They have to
Just to keep just thinking about them, watching what they're eating and what they're doing, just to stay that way. Well, the fact of the matter is, we don't tell people how to do things that are easy. We tell people and teach people how to do things that are difficult, that take work. And that's why Jesus focused on teaching us about how important it was for us to forgive. Because he knew it wouldn't be easy. We wouldn't just do it naturally. We'd have to work at it. But then third, we see that these scriptures assume our own desire for forgiveness from God. Now, whether people will admit it or not, because some people will lie, but whether people admit it or not, the truth of the matter is, everyone, whether they think they do or not, wants to be forgiven by God. And when it comes judgment day, it will come very clear to them just how much they want to be forgiven by God. Oh, today, I don't need God to forgive me of anything. But when they stand before him on judgment day, they will be begging and pleading. It'll be too late then. But we understand that we want to be forgiven by God. We want to have a home in heaven. And there's a lot of confusion in the world about how to get that. You've got some of the radical Muslim faith who believe the way to get to heaven is by blowing yourself up and killing as many people as you can on the way. You got other people that think the way to get to heaven is through trying all these psychotropic drugs, and you see, you know, I can get there without even leaving, and all these things. You know, other folks think that the way to get there is suicide. All sorts of crazy ideas about how to get to heaven. But the Bible teaches us that the only way to get to heaven is by having our sins forgiven. And Jesus tells us that one of the conditions for having our sins forgiven is our own willingness to forgive others. So if we want God to forgive us, and I believe that we do, we're going to have to show that same kind of mercy toward those who do us wrong. And we have to, too, realize that God will not let the guilty go unpunished. If that person didn't repent, didn't truly repent, God would deal with that. I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to make them pay. You hear that a lot of times. You hear that a lot in all these lawsuits. They have another, the punitive, they sue for punitive damages to put it, to make them pay for that bad thing they did. Well, the fact of the matter is, if somebody has done something bad and they don't repent of it, God will make sure they pay. It won't be a monetary fine. He's not going to make them spend $50. They're going to pay with an eternity of suffering. Romans 4:7 says, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Yes, when we have our sins forgiven, when we have our sins covered, yes, we are blessed then. There is no greater blessing that could be than to have the sin that we have committed forgiven. 2 Corinthians 2:6 through 8, if you remember in 1 Corinthians, there was a man who was living with his father's wife. And Paul told them they needed to discipline this individual. Well, apparently, according to 2 Corinthians 2, they did so. Verses 6 through 8 says, this punishment, which was afflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. So he said, apparently there were some who, this man, the church discipline worked. That woman that he wasn't supposed to be with. And he repented of that. But there were some who wanted to keep on punishing him. They didn't want to let it go. They didn't want to welcome him back. They didn't want to forgive him. And so Paul has to write back to him and say, okay. You have punishment with sufficient. He's repented now, he's come back. Now you need to forgive him and comfort him, or else he's going to be so sorrowful. Now he's just going to be swallowed up by it. He's not going to be able to continue his Christian walk. And so he teaches us then that we have to reaffirm our love to one another after we repent, when we come back from that sin. Well, what a wonderful thing it is to be forgiven and to be comforted after having come out of sin. You have people who have hurt you or sinned against you? I imagine you could probably name them. Well, so-and-so did this to me and so-and-so. Are you having difficulty forgiving them? You're still hanging on to it. I know so-and-so did this to me and so-and-so. It's not easy. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that forgiving someone who's done you wrong is easy. It's not easy. But the question that must be asked is, do you want forgiveness for your sins? I know I want forgiveness for mine. I can't answer for you. Maybe you want to hang on to your sins. You go right ahead. It'll make you a lot more miserable than anybody else. If you can do that if you want to, God will let you hang on to your sins. If you like them so much. See, you must forgive others if you want forgiveness from God. So work on that this week. That's our focus. Think about those that you haven't forgiven. And forgive them. Forgive them. Work toward putting that into the past. Leaving it there. Not bringing it back up. One of the things that will help us in doing that is for us to remember that God is willing to forgive us the things that we have done to Him. The sins that we have committed against God is of a greater magnitude than anything that anyone could do to us. Now, we may not believe that. We may think, how could that be so? So-and-so did it. What about all these child molesters and what about these murderers and what about all these things? Even the smallest sin that we sin against God is greater than those sins that other people could sin against us. And I know someone who I've had some horrible things happen to me who just don't understand. I understand this. Our sins put Christ on that cross. And the cross itself, all lots of people died on the cross. But our sins caused God to be separated from Himself. And He would have done that even for that one smallest sin in your life. He would have died on that cross, been separated from His Father, the Eternal Father, the Eternal Son. They've been together forever. And we caused them to be separated. We made Jesus leave heaven and come to this earth to live among the rabble of humanity. That's what we made Him do by our sin. Now, there's nothing that anyone can do to me that will compare to what I have done to God and to Jesus. And when I keep that in memory, then the little things that people do to me. And I know I use the example of somebody cutting in line in front of me. But whatever it is, I don't care. If somebody beats me half to death, if somebody kills my whole family, whatever they do to me, it can't compare with what I've done to God and He's willing to forgive me. If I'd be willing to forgive as well. If you're here tonight and you have a need
for God's forgiveness. Perhaps you're not a Christian. He teaches us that in addition to us being willing to forgive others, we've got to obey the gospel. We've got to obey that plan of salvation. We must hear the gospel. Perfect sinless life. Died on the cross and was buried for 3 days and then rose again on that third day. Hearing that, we must believe it. John 3:16. Believing it, we must be willing to repent of our sins, Acts 2:38, and be willing to confess Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10:10. And then be willing to be buried with him in baptism, for that is the gospel. That baptism is what washes our sins away, Acts 22:16 tells us. You're here and you have need of that. You can do that tonight. You can get a fresh start. Have all of your past sins washed away. You're saying you are a Christian, but perhaps you're not getting forgiveness of your sins because you're not forgiving others. You need to correct that. It's not worth it. If you're hearing you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.